This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
I want to thank the Depression Era not only for their wonderful exhibition of their work, which we're very honored to host, but also for being here with us this evening. As Aaron said, this is the second in a series of exhibitions devoted to a reflection on collaboration within the history of photography. And in this instance, as with our next exhibition, which will be devoted to the work of the Israeli-Palestinian documentary collective, Active Stills, we're trying to explore the nature of collaboration by presenting the work of different collectives, and in this case, this collective lens-based art project that traverses different mediums and engages the various manifestation of the so-called Greek crisis, a crisis that was not only, of course, a Greek crisis. Today, we're very fortunate to have six members of the Depression Era Collective with us. Pavlos Fisakis, I mean, we can get them to raise their hands, stand up, whatever. Yanis Hadjiaslanis, Yorgos Prinos, George Salame, Vangelis Tsatsis, and Pasqua Vorgia. So we're very happy to have all six of them with us. It was really great to have six people help us install because everything got done more quickly and, in fact, earlier than usual in general. But I thought that in order to begin, what I would just do is that ask each of you just to say a few words about your own history with the collective, when you joined, what prompted you to join, and what your experience has been as part of the collective. And maybe one of you, I don't know if Pavlos would want to do it, but somebody who wants to talk about, I mean, who can say a few words about the origin of the collective. So the origin of the collective, how it started, and then maybe each of you just say a few words about your own relation to the collective, when you joined, and so on. This might get us started.
Hi, everyone. The collective begins at...
This is Pavlos.
I'm one of the first members of the collective. So the collective begins about in 2011. Eh? Yeah. That's right. We feel the need that we must do something collectively. It was the first years of the crisis in Greece. Here we may say that the crisis doesn't begin at these years. Maybe it was long ago, but we feel it deeply at this year, about 2008, 2009, 2010. So I was feeling the need to speak not only with my voice about what happens, but also with other friends, other artists. And so we start making these meetings about to develop something all together. I think that all here is from this, from the first years of the collective. So we thought that we can do something collectively. That was the first step, how to create the Depression Era. And then, I don't know what else to say. I don't know. And then we start doing things, you know, start to doing exhibitions and doing meetings, start collecting our material, things like that. A lot of workshops we've done in Greece, things like that.
Okay. Do you want to go in order and maybe say a few words about when you joined?
Yes. Actually, I came in the collective a little later because when the collective was formed, I came in the US. So we were speaking with the guys early on, but I felt that I couldn't offer a lot while I was away. So I said in the beginning, I said no, actually in the beginning, we will speak again later. But then after some time, I realized that I couldn't, you know, I was thinking all the time, half of my body, half of my mind was in Greece. So I said I have to do something, you know, so I decided to join the collective. And after some time, I started to be really involved in the collective. Mm-hmm. That was it.
I was also one of the initial members of the collective, and as Paulos was saying,
that was Yorgos, this is Pascua. Maybe you can identify yourself.
Okay, so I'm Pascua. And as Paulos was saying, back at those years, there was a lot of tension in Greece and a lot of things going on. And the idea that initially Paulos had to get together a number of people and somehow act upon what was happening at the time in an artistic way, because we were all photographers or artists, sounded really, really good. And that's how I joined, and we became a larger group as time went by. So at first we were like 5 people, now we are about 25 people. And yeah, so... And we keep going.
You want to be last? Okay.
Okay, hi, I'm Yannis. I joined the collective in 2014. I had a couple of colleagues, friends, who were part of the collective. And the way that the people join the collective is that the existing members propose new members through, let's say, a voting democratic process. So a couple of people who knew my work proposed me to join, and I did with great joy, because first of all, we photographers work in solitude a lot of times, and especially under the circumstances of the situation in Greece, there was a need, let's say, to share work and thoughts and discuss things and together and work through it together. So I thought it was a great opportunity to also meet other photographers whose work I knew but I didn't know in person. So I think for me, one of the most important things is that a lot of us became close friends as well. So it's sort of a family.
I was living at the time when we did the first meetings.
George.
I was living in Sicily at the time. I left Greece in 2006. And I was going back and forth because I have my family there, and sometimes work. But when the idea came to work together, it was like a call for, you know, to do something for the first time. I've never worked in the photography world with other people, but I come from cinema, so I was used to work with other people. But in cinema, you have a hierarchical structure. But in these discussions, we knew that we have to work horizontally. And everybody had the same, this need to be together. We were like bombarded with a lot of narratives at the time about the crisis. We were confused. We wanted to understand what was happening. So that was the first in point for being together. And slowly, slowly, this became a way to not be isolated under those circumstances and to work through this storm that was happening at the time. And in a way, it all started here, like in Wall Street, 2008. And in Athens, over there, you have a photo with a text with what happened with this young 16-year-old kid who was shot by the police. And that triggered an insurgency movement in Athens in 2008, in December 2008. So there's a lot of historical moments in these exhibitions that are not explicitly shown, but we're here if you you want to ask anything.
Hi, I'm Vangelis. Pascua, help me with translate because I don't good speak English. Εγώ πήγα στην κολεκτίβα το 2012.
I got into the collective in 2012.
Από μια πρόταση που έγινε από φίλους, μια πρόσκληση τέλος.
From a proposal by friends to join.
Είδα τελικά ότι αυτό που έκανα μόνος μου είναι λίγο... Ότι αυτό η δουλειά που έκανα είχε, ήταν πιο μεγάλη και είχε να κάνει με περισσότερους ανθρώπους που θέλουμε να πούμε περίπου τα ίδια πράγματα από διαφορετικές σκοπιές.
And it felt to me that what I had been doing for all this time was that had a lot in common with what other people were doing and wanted to say all those years.
Και πλέον μαζί με φίλους και άλλους φωτογράφους αρχίσαμε να συνομιλούμε και να βλέπουμε λίγο γενικότερα αυτό που γίνεται γύρω μας και αυτό που βιώνουμε στην Αθήνα.
Yeah, so we collectively tried to experience, interpret and to work together on what was happening in Athens at the time.
Αυτό λίγο. Okay.
Okay. So I said earlier that one of the things that we've been doing in this series of exhibitions, beginning with the one that we did in the fall, which was a collab project that was done with Susan Maizales, Ariel Azule, and others, is that we've been trying to think about the nature of collaboration within the history of photography. So I'm wondering if maybe, and you don't have to all talk, but I mean, whoever wants to talk, can to say something about both the joys and the difficulties of collaboration, because I think that what George was saying in terms of the felt need to be part of a community at this particular moment was a very strong impetus for joining the collective and to issues of solidarity, of community, etc., and also to feel that there were let's say a group of people moving in somewhat the same direction to try and address or present what was happening in Greece at the time. So I was wondering if maybe you could talk about, as I said, the joys and difficulties of collaboration. And as a kind of prompt, I was thinking, I was remembering something that I witnessed when I was in graduate school. I went to a conference at UCLA, and the French philosopher Jean-Luc Nancy gave a talk. And after his talk, he was asked about his collaboration with the French philosopher Philippe Lacoulabart. He was asked, he wrote essays with Philippe, he wrote books with Philippe, they lived together, they eventually married each other's wives. So it was a very collaborative existence. So they asked him if he could talk about his collaboration with Philippe, and he said, well, that's a question of the personal. And the person who asked the question got very embarrassed. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get personal. He goes, no, it's a question of the personal. That in order to think about what collaboration is, you have to also think about what the personal is. Is it possible to have something that would be only personal? Would you be able to delineate the borders of your subjecthood in some way? So it was an invitation to think about, let's say, the relationship between the singularity of someone's photographic practice and this collective project. Like, what is the relationship between, what are the tensions that occur in that kind of a context? Again, that you would gain something by being part of the collective. Did you at different moments feel that you lost something by being part of the collective? And in any case, you continued to be in the collective, I mean, whether there were difficulties or not. So, because we're interested in the role and place of collaboration within the history of photography, and I know that you don't all just work in the photographic medium, you work in other mediums as well, but I'm really trying to invite you to talk about how you have experienced the project of collaboration itself.
We actually documented with sound all our meetings, so we have many of our fights also recorded in those meetings. And in the first meetings, we like invited a lot of people. We were 36 people. There were a couple of journalists, an architect, people who worked with video, not only photographers, sound, etc. So we did start very open, mm-hmm. and slowly going through the first period, we started reflecting on how can we work together. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen very easily. Mm-hmm. A lot of egos in the mm-hmm. same room. mm-hmm. So there were also like really tense moments mm-hmm. in that. But we really understood at some point, at least for me, that I had to give away something mm-hmm. to be part of this. The more we did together, the more we were able to understand where to put the limit. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about my work. There's a couple of photographs and a small short video, but how this is taken out from its context and mm-hmm. put here is something that I learned through the years with everybody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen in a very easy mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. So collaboration started when we accepted that we have to let something go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To continue from what you were saying, from my experience, it was a lot about deciding when to let go and when not to let go also, because it's always a question about similarities and differences. When can you actually become a community with someone else and when can you not? And there have been people in the collective who at one point left the group because they couldn't find enough things in common with the rest of the people in order to stay and be able to express what they would stand for. So there's a certain line where you can say, okay, I can work with that difference. Because politically or ideologically, it's not that far from where I stand. But there's also a point where, for instance, you can't stand in and collaborate with someone who is from the far right, right? You don't want to be in a collective or in a community with them. So at a certain point, let's say people who perhaps were feeling more conservative, who were more conservative, politically speaking, couldn't keep being in the collective. And at one point, some of them left. And this has always been a very politically tense process of where can you work with someone and where you actually have too many differences with someone to keep working with them. And also in terms of photography, I want to say that it's an interesting tension also between multiplicity and individuality, because when you show one work of a series, let's say, of photographs as an artist, then you can perhaps go really deep into that work and the context and where the work comes from and the background and the story that the person is trying to say. But for instance, here we have works from like 25 people, and it's not very easy to delve deep into what each one of those people are saying or the individual stories they're trying to convey. So here you see a prism, let's say, of multiple stories coming together and creating a larger narrative. And that's also a give and take. You let something and you earn something from it.
I think this is a very important question. And I think it speaks a lot about the core of what means to be in a collective. And for me, it's about meeting the other. And this is a very important thing. And it's not easy at all. It has a lot of conflicts. And it's about where is the individual and the collective. So in a way, I'm describing the way we are working, something like the ensemble vs the collective. So in a way, we are working, the working method we have in a way is that we have individual work, and we try to combine this in something that creates a collective discourse. At the same time, we try to decide some things collectively. So in a way, our working method is like an ensemble, but in the way we are deciding things is collectively. But this is a very difficult thing. So as Yorgos said, there was a lot of conflict. Different sides, different aspects of what we should do. But at the same time, there is a very important political dimension about the need to come together. And for me, this is the important thing and what keep us going, you know. There was a need to react to what was happening, and that was by forming something all together. Mm-hmm. And I think that was something that keep us going, even though we had a lot of differences. Mm-hmm. But it's not an easy thing, but at the same time, meeting the other, what it means, the other, it's a lot of things. It's a very important thing to do.
Mm-hmm. I just want to add, just to explain the way that we work about taking decisions, because this is something that, I mean, it's not clear. So whenever we have a call, we always show our work. We always curate what we show. We never have someone from the outside, like an external curator. So when we get a call like here, so we make a call within the group, and we ask everyone who wants to get involved to get involved. So we usually work in subgroups. So let's say in this case we're six, another two people maybe who are not here at the moment. So eight of us really sat and did most of the work, and we were in contact with everyone else in the group. So then that also many times can create issues between us. Mm-hmm. But then in the end of the day, if someone wants to get involved, it's open for him to get involved. So it's at the moment, I think in the past few years, we haven't really had much, many struggles or tensions between us. I think that as the years are going by, we've all learned to become more flexible and nicer to each other also. Yeah. Yeah.
One last thing is that when we started working, like our first exhibition, maybe not the first, the second exhibition was like huge museum exhibition where we had each work of each artist like separately with a text, with a name, and slowly the names disappeared to a more collective kind of works. We invited also the people who worked with us on workshops to exhibit with us in another exhibition, and slowly we projected more and more a singular work like here. So what we see around here is the six plus two who were curating this project, but the one before that one, there was another group who were curating for in Amsterdam an exhibition. Mm-hmm. So through the years, it became more and more a compact projection, let's say.
So in terms of the subgroups, yes, that you had, I'm gonna have this.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
But we're trying to find the model. We were trying to find the model how to work. So we didn't know in the beginning how to work. We were trying different models. So we did things that we were collecting in a way individual works and then trying to collectively edit it. Mm-hmm. But other times there were projects that we did that it was more collective from the beginning. So we were trying to find different models. We tried different models. Mm-hmm. Both in terms of how we were working, the working methodology, but at the same time, how we make decisions. Mm-hmm. But the most, let's say, most powerful decision is when we are all together, and this is the most powerful, let's say, way of deciding what we should do. Even though there were different kind of curatorial teams, but the most powerful in a way of deciding is when we were all together.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like that you're saying that, and I also like, if I take a little thread that went through many of the comments. I mean, I like that you didn't know in advance where you were going. I mean, that this, it has to be invented along the way, step by step. Each instance, it probably takes a different route, which is, it's almost as if you're learning how to be in a relationship, right? Like any relationship. And I also like that you say that you were trying to find ways in which you could, let's say, not only work collectively, but represent or stage that collectivity in a particular way. So for example, the signal that you were suggesting, George, where in this exhibition, you have these works that are produced by individual photographers, but it's put together and there are no clear identificatory marks on the photographs, right? So you can't tell, if you're just looking at the photographs, who the producer of the photograph was. I mean, there is a map, so people can go and look and find out, but it's sort of the walking through the experience of the exhibition itself stages a kind of agreement to let go of one's own signature, let's say. And I also like this idea that trying to imagine how you form a community beginning from the presupposition that everyone is different. Right. I mean, that how do you, I mean, almost as if what you all share with one another is your absolute incommensurability with one another. Right. So that what kind of community can be founded if it begins in the presupposition that you're all different from one another. Right. One thing that I was thinking that you might say some things about, because I know it was a labor to work your way through it in some way, is the title of the exhibition, which was Photography in Crisis and then Depression Era, etc. But this phrase, Photography in Crisis, there was understandably some resistance to it because it's photography in crisis and there were other mediums involved, video, writing, QRD, other things that were being done. So there was a resistance on the one hand to let's say the sense that photography didn't encompass the variety of mediums that were working. At the same time, there was a sense that the phrase photography in crisis does imply photography's own incapacity at times to represent something, but also its incapacity to work alone, so that photography is in crisis because it needs to be supplemented by other mediums, other efforts, other let's say, attempts to represent something. So in this context, I was thinking that when a medium, let's say photography, film, video, etc., even writing, confronts a crisis, okay, the Greek crisis, any crisis, and the Greek crisis is not just any crisis, but let's say when these mediums encounter a crisis, in some sense, the title Photography in Crisis implies that medium experiences a crisis in relation to its own capacity to represent the crisis itself, right? Can you represent a crisis? So I was wondering if you had a sense of, I don't know if you would even want to take up these terms, but if you could talk about the title, but also just how you perceive the project as being a successful or failed project. Like, is it, when one is confronting a crisis, in other words, is it ever possible to successfully represent all the threads that compose, that make up, that lead to the crisis? Or is that failure part of the process, part of what makes the necessity to continue to do it again and again and again, right? Because there are many iterations of this project. Right? You don't take the same project and then take it different places. You produce different iterations of the project as if each context or each moment requires a different effort to say what you want to say. Does this make sense? I was trying to... Yeah. They all know that when I start talking, I threaten to go on forever like a river. So... But there are six of them. Only one of me. They can handle it. Okay. Yes.
Well, Photography in Crisis for me was not really the word retrospective was like too big. I mean, we were just 8 years doing a retrospective. It was like, But what is interesting in this, at least one aspect of this title, is that the medium is in crisis.
Yes.
We, in our manifesto over there on the wall, we talk about this white noise. We were bombarded continuously from the beginning of this crisis with a lot of mediums, visual mediums basically, and also written mediums, about what is the crisis and how we should think about the crisis and how all these narratives were imposed on not us as individuals, but as a community, as a country, let's say, or as. So this need to be together also comes from this crisis of the medium. We thought that we had to create something at least small in parallel to this big narrative around us. Mm-hmm. So I can find in this photography in crisis a way to say that we are together also, mm-hmm. because we wanted to create an alternative, maybe, narrative, a way to resist the narratives that were imposed upon us. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the medium is in crisis, and you can see it here. And I mean, like, now we easily say about this truth in the medium that in journalism, mm-hmm. in fake news and stuff like that. At the time, we were feeling that we were like bombarded with fake news. Mm-hmm. So we had to, in a way, react to that. But as artists, how do you do that? Okay, we had some journalists among in the group. One of them ended to be the Minister of Culture, and he left the group. So we had really questions that we couldn't answer from the beginning. And slowly, slowly, we started dealing at least with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me just say one thing. For instance, the big narrative coming from the media or Europe, coming from institutions, basically, there was this big narrative about the crisis coming from institutions, talking about the Greek crisis, right? But it's not really about the Greek crisis. It's a European crisis. It's a global crisis. Mm-hmm. It's a capitalist crisis. It's crisis in the Western world. So what we try to do in this group is to create to encompass multitudes, to let in stories of people and how they viewed things from their own perspective. So you create all these cracks, all these like leaks, where you let other voices come in and tell their stories. And oftentimes these narratives do not really fit with the larger narratives that you're being served by the media or by the power system. So to me, that was, I think, in a way, creating a mosaic mm-hmm. of smaller narratives that maybe when you take them all together, mm-hmm. and that's why we also try to create, we did workshops where we invited another 150 people to come in and tell their own story about what was going on. Then it became this big pool mm-hmm. of stories of people about how they viewed what was going on. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's more, it's closer to the truth, let's say, in a way, than one big narrative mm-hmm. coming from a big institution, let's say. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to say.
Also, I would like to add that we're part of the crisis that we're speaking about.
Yeah.
We're not there as spectators. Mm-hmm. We're part of this crisis.
Yeah.
And one of the first things that we thought about in 2011, it was that we don't like to be represented by others. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to represent ourselves and the situations that we're living in. So this was an important thing, a crucial thing about what we're thinking about this crisis, this global crisis. Mm-hmm. But it's not a phenomenon or something, you know.
Yeah.
It's an attack of the universal capitalism, mm-hmm. the global capital, and something like that. Mm-hmm. it was, and I think it is, so political. Sometimes I think that is bigger than me, something like that. Mm-hmm. So I would like to add that.
I want to add something about failure and success, because mm-hmm. you mentioned mm-hmm. failure. There we were also having this success story about how we are going to go out mm-hmm. of the crisis. So we didn't really think about succeeding in anything. We were experimenting mm-hmm. things, and maybe this is our force in a way mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we were not aiming or ambitious to succeed in doing mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. And failures, yeah, we failed many times because we tried, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we're still trying. I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm.
And what's also important is that the work is constantly re-edited, reworked. There's no, like, even what's in this room is not something, like, solid. Like, it's one version of the work. Mm-hmm. So our work is constantly reimagined, I would say. Mm-hmm. And to add also something that's on the wall, it's, I think that where we all start is that it's a very confusing time. It's a time where everything's blurred, everything's haunted, and we're trying to make sense of what's been going on. I mean, in Greece and also in a global level. I mean, we're just from Greece, and that's why you see Greece here. But mm-hmm. we're all going through the same. I mean. It's,
but in terms of the medium, because the title is Photography in Crisis, I think photography is always in crisis. Mm-hmm. It's about the question of the medium. So there are a lot of strengths in the medium, but at the same time, there are a lot of weaknesses. And I feel that photography lies in a threshold between lies and truth, mm-hmm. in a way. But if you add this very strong word like crisis, you know, things are getting even more difficult. So how you represent the crisis? I'm not sure, you know, you can go until one limit in a way. Mm-hmm. And in the way we have Sekula next to us, you know, he was always speaking about that thing that Benjamin and Brecht were saying about how you speak through photographs about the relationship of a factory. Mm-hmm. There is a limit how you can represent mm-hmm. this thing. So for me, there is a limit how you can represent, or at the same time, there are a lot of questions how to represent the crisis. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is that we tried, is what the other people were saying, you know, mm-hmm. because a lot of the word crisis at some point became burned out, you know, it was a word that everybody was using it. Mm-hmm. And yes.
Good. Somebody wants to say something? Okay. So to follow up this idea of the resistance, because part of the project is a kind of resistance to the larger narratives, the stories that were being told and were circulating. I was wondering if you could say something about the way in which, if you have these images all together, and there are no captions, so as one goes through and experiences them, one has to invent one's own narrative about them, invent one's own story about them, and read them in some way syntactically in relation to one another, right? Is to try and invent a story as you walk through. And one of the things that I was noticing is that, of course, some of the images were actually taken before 2008, right? So that there's a way in which some of these images were taken before the so-called crisis began, right? And yet they're included in this project, right? So there's a way in which those images stand as something that would be, let's say, predictive, prophetic, already in some way announcing in advance what was to come, the financial crisis, the loss, the abandonment, the dispossession that became the signature of some of the austerity measures and so on. So I was wondering if you see that gesture of incorporating works that belong, let's say, to another time, in quotation marks, as part of the way in which you can resist a narrative that would try and make sense out of what was happening. In other words, by introducing photographs that were before 2008 in this project where everything is put together, it almost works to interrupt a kind of linear story about what happened, right? It doesn't start, it doesn't have a beginning, a middle, and an end. It doesn't start in 2008 or 2009 or 2010. It could be said to start in 2004. It could be said to start earlier. So that there's some way in which, what?
Maybe in 44.
Maybe 34.
44.
Yeah, maybe 1944. The Civil War. Yes, exactly. So that it becomes a way to meditate through the photographs about the role and place of a conception of time or temporality that itself would be part of the way in which you resist these larger grand narratives that try and make sense of something in a kind of linear, chronological way. Just to say that what's so strong about putting them all together is that it implies that the past, the present, and the future all have to be thought together. So maybe you could say something about that, if you, yeah.
That's why we insist on not saying the Greek crisis, because
yeah.
we consider that this is not only Greek.
Yes.
And it has a larger picture. And what is related to what we were saying about being together is how can we do a common gesture? Mm-hmm. This is maybe the resistance mm-hmm. that we imply or we suggest that we're doing. It's through this common gesture. It's not single gesture of mm-hmm. Of all the persons. It's something that we're doing together, and in this way we kind of speak a lot with what's in this mm-hmm. room. Mm-hmm. It's individual pictures of people in a situation, in a historical situation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's how we think about what we were living at the time, still living mm-hmm. now, as a historical moment. Mm-hmm. And this is why the work of Pasqua, for example, is like moments of historical events, and it's the only works with text. It's the three mm-hmm. of them here. Mm-hmm. One, two, three. Mm-hmm. They are really pointing to mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. historical, and in this way we are connecting in a very interesting way with the work of Sekula. Mm-hmm. And this at least trying to do something, a common gesture mm-hmm. that maybe can be called resistance. I mm-hmm. don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's mm-hmm. resistance, because we are not, you know, taking arms or, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. we're in a situation where we cannot say that we were like creating a movement or mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. activist kind of resistance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just one quick thing about sometimes works being done before a context, but then showed again mm-hmm. in another context mm-hmm. and taking another meaning.
Right, exactly.
Like being reinterpreted,
right.
recontextualized,
right.
which is very much in the history of the medium of
right.
photography.
Exactly.
Like where you present, how you present, with what text, and what surrounds one work mm-hmm. Gives you the symbolism or the narrative you want to talk about. So for instance, Spiros Tavaris, who is one of the people who has work from before the crisis, from mm-hmm. the 90s, mm-hmm. he did this work for magazines. Mm-hmm. And he photographs politicians mm-hmm. and high society in Greece for lifestyle magazines, right? So now you show this in this narrative,
mm-hmm.
in a new context, mm-hmm. and it takes a whole different meaning. Right. So you show how there's an elite mm-hmm. of people who have always had a good time. Mm-hmm. And now it becomes something else. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in a way, it's also digging a little bit deeper into all those images of mm-hmm. social life that mm-hmm. we've always had and right. giving them another meaning.
Right, right.
Which makes them richer in
a way.
No,
that seems very
just
important.
Layers.
Yeah, that's very important. Yeah.
This was the only answer that I know, but Yorgos and Pascu answered for me. So I would like to add that at the pictures of Spiros Tavares, we can see one guy laughing, mm-hmm. laughing out loud, a lot of years before the so-called crisis. Mm-hmm. Later, he became the Minister of Finance in Greece. Mm-hmm. He's the one who signed all these referendums mm-hmm. and put a lot of people in the depression. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is one of so crucial pictures about mm-hmm. What happens to Greece later on. Mm-hmm. The picture is shot, I think, in 2000. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of years before yeah. our collective or so.
Yeah.
But I think that behind the picture, it hides not only the date, but also the content.
Yeah.
So we're here about the content sometimes, not only the date.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. No, actually, but, then I would add to what George was saying, because he was saying, well, we're not activists, we're not doing this. But actually, in some sense, if you think of the putting together of all these works and the things that you're now saying in terms of unpacking their relationship and the work that was, let's say, the work, the thinking, the activism of putting them in relation to one another, even from different times, in order to revise them, recontextualize them, read them differently, this is an activist proposal, right? And it's an activist proposal that presents itself almost as a kind of training manual on how to read images historically in moments of crisis, in moments of danger, right? So that, and I think this also has something to do with the pedagogical element of the project, with the workshops that you do with different communities and different, I mean, which I think maybe Aaron said something about it while I was, there will be a workshop next Wednesday morning. And you see the storage cabinet in the first room. It's filled with about 650 prints from the Depression era archive. And a group will come in Wednesday morning, and they will be invited to go through these images, reorganize them, recontextualize them, and tell their own story in relation to their own lives by using these images taken from somewhere else. So it's a way to put, let's say, a community in Philadelphia in contact with this, I think you put it something like small peripheral Southern Europe area, okay? But I think that pedagogical element is part of a certain kind of activism in the name of, let's say, a visual literacy that would come in the form of a different kind of politics, right? So I'm just giving you a little more credit than you're giving yourself.
No. But I mean, we kind of think sometimes of some images as symptoms to something
right.
coming.
Right.
That's I think the right word for me at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are symptoms of an era coming, and now that we are in, we can read images
right.
in a different way. I mean, like my own work,
right.
I read it in a completely different way today.
Exactly.
Respectfully, when I was doing it.
Right.
So
I mean, Benjamin has this very beautiful passage that I think some of you may know, where he talks about how it's very often the case that when an image is produced, it cannot be read in the time in which it's produced, right? Because the developers that would allow us to read the image are not yet strong enough to allow us to do it, so that it's only in the future that we might have the developers that are strong enough to help us read those images differently and more fully. Yeah.
And in the way we wanted to indicate, for me, for us, this is very important, that we wanted to indicate that the crisis is not about Greece, because
yeah,
a lot of times you are hearing in the media that the crisis is about Greece. We are saying that the crisis is not about Greece, it's about Europe, it's about the global crisis. Mm-hmm. So for us, that was a very important point to make.
No, and I think one corollary is that no one would have been interested in the small economy of Greece and what was happening in Greece if everybody didn't have their hands already in it. Right, so I think this is always something that for me is very important.
And
at
the same time, I wanted to add that in the way we were speaking about the Europe, not the Greek crisis, but the European crisis, we wanted to add that the crisis didn't start on 2008, 2009. You know, the crisis started long ago.
Right.
So in a way, one of the goals, what we are trying to do is to create a different kind of discourse in relations with the media.
Yes.
This is why we are using the term white noise.
Right.
So we were trying to create these different paths of discourse about an alternative discourse.
Yeah.
What's interesting, it just came from what Yorgos was saying, is like before about representation and documentation. In a way, we were documenting what was happening at the time with something that was produced a long time ago. Yeah. So it's also one of these questions: how do you represent crisis? Mm-hmm. Do you represent them with only material that is produced in the times of crisis?
Right.
Or do you use anything that can relate to that? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But it's also an understanding of what makes an event, right? Because you have a moment. In order to read that moment, you cannot just read it in terms of what's happening at that moment, because that moment didn't fall from the sky, it wasn't born in the desert. There's a history that led to that moment. So that part of the putting together this ensemble of images is an invitation to begin to read the history that is sealed in those images, right? I want to open it up to the audience. I just want to, because since a couple of you have referenced this, in the room behind me, the media tech, is a screen, it's a kind of ongoing slideshow of Alan Sekula's Waiting for Tear Gas. It's a 1999-2000 project where he was documenting a series of color photographs where he was documenting the protests against the World Trade Organization in Seattle in 1999. And the photos record the emergence of a resistance to neoliberalism, corporate globalization within the cities of the global north that had already been building in the global south during the previous decade. We've put it in the media tech here because we did think that there was a lot of resonance between what Alan was doing and what Depression Era had been working on too. And I appreciate that a couple of you referenced it, because I do think there is a link there between these things. So I also invite all of you, of course, to look at all the works in the two main galleries, but also to spend time with Alan's Waiting for Tear Gas, because it is almost, it's one of another kind of context for the work that is here. Okay.
Can I add something?
Yeah.
Which is very literal, but when I was looking into Alan's work, mm-hmm. I came across this text where, which in Athens we know that, but a lot of the tear gas, mm-hmm. The canisters that you find in the streets, come from a company that makes them. It's actually from Pennsylvania. It's exported in Israel and then resold to the Greek police. So the same tear gas that you get here is the one we get in Athens.
What we do is a very political thing. And we don't agree. I mean, each one of us probably has their own ideology or shades of ideology, right? But no, we don't have neoliberal people in the group, because that's something that we want to criticize. We're definitely against standing up against neoliberalism or the joys of the free market and all these things that create a financialized world that we feel is not a just world, is unjust, right? So we don't always agree, but I think again that there is a line. Are we leftists? Are we anarchists? Some of us are this, and some of us are that. But we always try to find some common ground. But we're close to each other, right? Ideologically and politically speaking. At least that's what I feel in the most important things.
Pascua said the magic word, justice. I mean, like, we can relate to this word in so many different ways. And there was something unjust happening in Greece at the time when everything started, and we were feeling this injustice. So from each one of us, from his own point of view, political or not, but we felt that there was something wrong happening. All these narratives going around us, where we were not able to identify with that. So we kind of started from that point and tried to find common ground. And this common ground sometimes was taking all of us, sometimes was not working. So it created tensions.
I think one of the, for me, one of the very important, not important, the golden word of neoliberalism, one of the golden words of neoliberalism is competitive, you know, being competitive, a competition. And in the group, we weren't competitive. We were very different, and especially when we had to take decision that it brought political dimensions, this is where we saw the differences between us. We were different, but we were trying to find the common grounds within a limit, because as Pascua said, we didn't have anybody that was from far right, so there was a common ground always.
Η δυναμική της ομάδας πιστεύω ότι είναι πάνω σε αυτό το κομμάτι, το ότι πολιτικά έχουμε κάποιες διαφορές μεταξύ μας, διαφορές.
The dynamic of this group lies exactly on the fact that we have certain political differences among us.
Και ότι ένα, αυτό που βιώνουμε μπορούμε και το βλέπουμε και το πλαισιώνουμε από διαφορετικές σκοπιές.
And the fact that what we see and we experience is seen and contextualized from different viewpoints and different approaches, meaning that this is one of the strengths of the group, right?
Okay. Yes. Και το σημαντικό για μένα είναι το ότι όλοι αυτοί από τις διαφορετικές πολιτικές πεπιθήσεις αποφασίσαμε να μιλήσουμε για ένα κοινό πράγμα, το οποίο είναι να μιλήσουμε για την ίδια μας την πτώση.
And the fact, I mean, it's important, the fact that all these people with different belief systems and ideologies got together to talk about this one thing, the fall of ourselves, how we fell.
To add to all of that, we were also from different ages, different experiences, and different experiences of what was before the crisis, the so-called crisis, and what was after. I mean, like a young person who never experienced the years before, and he just grew up in after 2010, has a completely different view of what crisis means. He had a different experience that I cannot represent or document or talk about the same way of a person who didn't live the golden years of before the 2004 Olympics and all those glorious times. I mean, like, when you somebody was 18 or 19 or 20 in 2010, he has completely no idea what was before. Mm-hmm. So to add to all the differences, there's also this difference.
I want to relate this to one of your early questions. I mean, about success and failures, mm-hmm. and what George is saying. I would definitely say that if I was to say that one thing successful about this group, mm-hmm. is this, that we're together in this. Mm-hmm. Whatever, I mean, politics, like, you know, anarchist, communist, whatever, you know, we want to call it. If there's one thing that, you know, we're united in this, and this is something that I'm very proud of. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone is here.
Yeah.